Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to the Trample Bet podcast for the weekend of Saturday, February 19th, 2022. I'm your host, Andy Vaughan, and with me, as always, is Gordo.
Hello.
How are we, G-Man?
Pretty good. Good week last week. Exciting guest and an exciting new guest this week as well. So, we'll fill you in on that later. But good week.
Talking of guests, welcome back our guest of last week, Connor Mack. How are you doing, Connor?
All right, good, guys. How are you?
Yeah, grand, mate. Grand. And Gordon's right. It was a really good week last week. So let's delve straight in about it and give a quick recap. I'll go first to get the worst bit of my week out the way. And this was a banker loss for me with Torino against Venezia. They lost 2-1 in a game that they looked incredible for the first 20 minutes. They went a goal up after 5 minutes. And I was watching the game. And for the first 20 minutes, they looked unbelievable. I was like, this is going to be paid out soon with a 2-0 lead. Conceded a goal, then forgot how to play football. Halftime, a minute after they came out for halftime, they were 2-1 down. And then, you know, they were under pressure because they needed a win to keep up the teams at the top of the table. They threw the bag at it for the last sort of 15 minutes or so, but it was never enough. It was a horrible disallowed goal. The officials were all over the place. It was a VAR decision that took like 6 minutes. The clock went to 103 minutes and there wasn't a serious injury in the game.
That's impressive.
But it was just farcical. So yes, end result is my banker lost and it was very upset.
I mean, yeah, your banker, it was more frustrating actually because they brought on
Belotti
and he scored, and then they chopped it. But they also they just started killing the game. Like at the point Belotti's goal got chopped off, they just went.
They started killing the game from about 70 minutes.
Yeah,
just so many people lying down and it was nonsense. Frustrating.
Yeah. But on the other side of bankers, I had a nice and comfortable one, which was Liverpool, a 1-0 win. It was anything but comfortable. They were off at 1-3, which actually ended up in the same price as my fucking value, which came right in. Liverpool, I mean, tonight we've got a much tougher game. Burnley had given a few good games to Man United and some other teams recently. So I was I think Man United played the Wednesday and we recorded last Tuesday. And Burnley looked all right. And, you know, if Weghorst could stay on side, we'd have done something better. Well, we would have, for the coupon, for the podcast, it'd have been terrible. But, you know, for Burnley, it was great because, they fucked it for us. Fantastic. So Liverpool won that game relatively comfortably with 1-0 and it led on to Connor's banker.
So I was in Germany and I had Leverkusen at home to beat Stuttgart. They got massively punted into 3-10 just before they went off. So I felt more confident in that. They went 1-0 up quite late in the first half. They had two goals ruled out in the first half. They should have killed the game, really. Second half, Stuttgart scored after 2 minutes, and I thought, here we go. this is either going to end 1-1 or 2-1 Stuttgart. But Leverkusen scored two very quick goals in the second half, and if you're using Bet365, that paid out quite nicely. Tick. That's what Dave would say. He'd be happy with that.
Yeah, exactly. I know he's done.
and then Stuttgart scored to make it 3-2 with 5 minutes to go, and it was a bit squeaky. But Patrick Schick, my main man, scored in injury time to make it 4-2. So yeah, nice banker winner for me.
Decent end there.
2-3. Yeah. Decent. Onto the value picks. This is where everything for the rest of the week went well for me. So My value is quite a late one. Monday at 8 p.m., I took the Sky Sports game in the English Championship, West Brom versus Blackburn, and just basically bet that West Brom weren't going to win this match. So an away win or draw was just under even money at 10 to 11. The game ended 0-0. It was pretty comfortable. So nice even money value pick in.
The game went exactly as we said it was going to go, didn't we? Literally. Yeah. We literally said
nothing happened.
Steve Bruce would play. He would set them up to not concede. Mm-hmm. I thought Blackburn first half were really good. And then just kind of, it looked like it was going to be a draw in the second half. So it was a great pick. It's a great pick.
That's where my week started to go poorly. It does pick up at the end, thankfully. But Union SG versus St. Truiden. Union SG, top of the Belgian league versus 12th place St. Truiden. They shortened from when I had them about 7 to 10 to 1 to 3.
3 to 5.
3 to 5. 6 to
it was 10. It was already a shitebag value pick.
It was already short. I thought it was great value. It was not. It was so bad. They just, St. Truiden, I watched the whole game on Bet365 tiny window player as well. It's even worse. So like it's like this size and you're watching it and it's just like, so the pitch was absolutely sodden. Union SG missed a penalty after going 1-0 down in like the 92nd minute and I'd rebacked them, double chance. It was just shite. It was maybe the worst, like, and I know that it killed Connor's sixfold, which was, I think, all the values and all the charities. Which was even worse because it was definitely the lowest priced pick in that as well. Yeah, so
by a considerable margin.
Yeah, it was not good, but was so annoyed at them as well. I mean, if they went off at the same price again, I'd still take them probably as a banker next time. I was so annoyed at it. Watching it on the tiny screen made it worse. I don't know why. I think a bigger screen would have been fine because I could have seen more of the pitch. But I just seen those fucking yellow wee pricks diving about for like 40 minutes of the game. and then the penalty miss. Anyway, not a good value pick. We'll be back. I've got a much better one for this week.
So I'm gonna make Gordo slightly happier here, but it's the sixfold died on Saturday.
Oh, did it? I thought it was just the thing.
No, so my value didn't come in. It was the only blemish of my weekend, and it was actually my bet of the year. I said it was the bet of the year. It was QPR away to Barnsley, who are rubbish. And I've been burnt by this before, back in a team bottom of the league against a team doing really well, and Barnsley won 1-0. They hadn't scored in 5 games. They conceded 2 or more in the last 10 and Barnsley bad QPR. They could have won 3 or 4-0 and even money. I should notice when QPR are even money away to Barnsley, when it's such a good price, I should just leave it alone. But
What's the catch?
You know, they bought in, like I said, Poirier Espargi, who hadn't won a game since he'd arrived, and I should have noticed the size in midweek. They played all right in midweek. And then they were at home to QPR, beating 1-0. And subsequently, QPR lost again last night as well to Millwall, who are struggling as well. So their playoff form is kind of faltering at the moment. But it's the only blemish of my weekend. Even money down the drain.
Feel better now, even though you lost.
We then run into quite a good time from here on out, going into the outsider picks. The Japanese football season is back. I am delighted with this. We've got game week 1 of the Japanese J-League happening this weekend. But last weekend was the Super Cup, essentially the charity shield where the league winners play the Emperor's Cup winners. Kawasaki Frontale versus Urawa. And this was my outsider pick, a win for the Urawa Red Diamonds at the big odds of 7-2 against a heavy favourited Kawasaki Frontale team, and they obliged and won 2-0. So I'm very happy with finding such a comfortable outsider at 3.5-1. That was lovely. I didn't watch the game. I woke up on Saturday morning to find out the result, and then had a wee skip back through the highlights. There's going to be a lot of Japanese football on their J League YouTube channel, free to air in the UK, so you can catch up on all the highlights. And Urawa looked good. They had more shots. And we're deserved 2-0 winners. So, really happy with that.
For anyone who is maybe a slightly newer listener or something, or hasn't been around for a couple of years, basically Andy hibernates between about November and now, right? His picks are shite. Like,
that's so unfair.
Comes in and he moans about the weather. He can't go out and play golf. He fucking hates it, right? The darts is the only thing that cheers him up for like
three. There's no baseball.
Like saying, and he's just talking about all the sports he doesn't like. And then February comes around, right? And it starts to get a little bit sunnier. And the J League comes back and the Danes defrost their fucking football league for a little while. And everything just returns. And it's like, if you looked at his performance throughout the thing, it's like Christmas is just pointless. Like, don't be anywhere near him at Christmas.
That's just so unfair. I got the World Seniors Darts winner.
You did, but that's huge. I gave you credit for that. That was the defrosting. That was the brief defrosting for Christmas. But you just see him, like, his picks just go through the roof. Like, it's midsection, with the exception of this week, because it's the first league of the G. Next week, he'll be like, yeah, I've actually got five correct pick scores to predict in the J League over the middle section. Sorry, Connor, you go.
No, it's not even that. I'm more annoyed at the fact that he goes last week. He goes, yeah, we're going to be up. We're going to watch it. And I've just heard him go, I didn't even wake up for it.
Yeah.
It was 4:35 in the morning. And yeah, I was thinking about it, but I also knew I'd be watching the Super Bowl, and I just couldn't afford to be that out of whack.
Yeah.
So watch the highlights. Solid 2-0 win. 72 outsider. Love it.
My outsider was not good. This was Dunkirk versus Rodé. It was a 2-0 win. I backed a draw. So if you're hearing 2-0 at any point, you backed a draw, it's not going to be great. Dunkirk and Rodé kind of broke up their draw streak they'd been having the last two games they'd played. Dunkirk at 2, first half goals. Rodé mustered a bit more of a game of it. You know, they had more shots on target. They doubled the amount of shots on goal. But when you're 2-0 up, well, you're 2-0 down, you're going to, because you're chasing the game. So I'm disappointed in that one. But see, again, if this game was played this week, I'd still back it as a draw, even with that knowledge. It just,
I bloody wouldn't. I'd back a Dunkirk win.
You'd back it in Kirk.
Again.
I'd get the outsider treble in and
collect my £400.
You would. So as Andy has alluded to, Connor, you're outsider.
So I stuck to something I know quite well. I said, if it's not broke, don't fix it. So I backed against Bradford again. And it was a weird one, this one, because when I suggested that Exeter were 5-2, and on the day they went off at 15-8 favourites.
Yeah.
So, the game finished 1-0 to Exeter. They scored 42nd minute. They battered Bradford first half. They had 14 shots on goal to Bradford's 5. And then second half was a little bit boring. They had a chance right at the end, Bradford, to nick it, cleared off the line. And since then, Derek Adams has now been sacked from Bradford, which I predicted 3 weeks ago.
You should have taken him at 1-7 for the next manager to get sacked.
So, actually, in saying that, if he was still in charge, my pick was going to be backing against Bradford again this week. But now I can't. So I'm claiming 5-2. I'm not taking 15-8.
The time you thought it was 5-2. Exeter, though, what a team. I don't know if you saw their game last night. They went 2-0 down.
Yeah, 3-1
really early
down.
Against Harrogate. Yeah. 3-1 down, and then 1-4-3.
Yes, the mad, that's it. Mad.
Yeah.
And the whole league's mad.
I was relying on Bolton doing that last night to bring a coupon in for me. And they were 3-0 down within 17 minutes. Everything else came in. I was like, great. This is, Dave. The Bolton thing.
Cash out those Bolton season long bets.
Yeah, that's it. See them out. He single-handedly sunk Bolton. It's a great pick, Connor. And as comfortable as a 1-0 could be.
It was
so comfortable, I'd even forgot about it. So on the day, I completely forgot about backing Exeter as an outsider. And I saw they went 1-0 up and completely forgot after that. Checked the full time, it was 1-0. I was like, oh, sweet, okay.
Yeah, that's it. Nice.
Ideal. Getting two of them in is always very good. I always back the outsiders as a trick, because they only need two of them to return quite a decent profit. So that was lovely. And then on to the charity picks, where a pick from each of us, tenner of our own money on the treble. And if we get a result, all the returns go to charity. I started this off on Friday evening, trying to get a nice early game in with Rostock versus Bremen. backing Bremen at even money, and they won 2-1, although they were 2-0 up at one point, so the game had paid out early. So that was a good start.
I was the last to go, so I'll let Connor go next, because I think we should do it in chronological order.
Yeah, so I was Friday night as well, and I was in Belgium. I had Antwerp away to Rock Bottom Serang. And this game got talked about quite a lot on the group chat, because after 25 minutes, Antwerp had battered them. I think they'd had like 6 shots on target, 48 dangerous attacks to 4. Not sure how they went 1-0 up. I think Joey was a bit annoyed, more annoyed than I was, that they weren't ahead after 20 minutes. It finished 0-0 at half time, and then former Aston Villa player Samata got sent off in the 64th minute. And we all thought, oh no. I don't want to be that guy that kills the cherry. I don't want to be.
They showed a Friday night.
Yeah, I don't want to be Gordon. I don't want to kill
that's
the cherry.
Me. That's my territory there.
But God must have been listening to me, because in the 92nd minute, Antwerp scored through an own goal. So
10 man Antwerp getting own goal. 10 man
Antwerp. Yeah. And it was even worse.
To see it.
They'd even called like 9 minutes of injury time out of nowhere as well. So I was like, hanging to hold on for the next 5 minutes. Thinking, surely Rock Bottom aren't going to score. Surely,
I love that you score. You scored in the 92nd minute, and your first thought is, "You scored too early."
You scored too early. Yeah, no, but I'm happy with that. And they were a great price. They were 4-5. So
ten to eleven they were on the slip because I bought it this week. So tremendous. We've got 2 picks around evens. Wonderful, and that all rolled on. We had a bit of a wait. So I think Gordon's game was on Sunday and both ours were in on Friday, so it all hung on this.
Yeah, so 7:45 on Sunday night, it was Metz versus Marseille, and Marseille started all right. They played basically the Torino first 20 minutes, and that they went up 1-0 and then decided they weren't interested in playing football. Like, they went up 1-0 and they were like, yeah, just calve the ball, run at us. And Metz obliged and went up and scored in the 58th minute, and they were good for it. And they were good for getting a next goal as well. Then Marseille decided to take it a bit more seriously, brought on Cengiz Under, Said Kolasinac and Anders Milik, which is a great set of players to be able to bring on. And Anders Milik scored, assisted by Said Kolasinac, a brilliant overhead kick to win this game 2-1 and to bring the charity bet in. There was also about 6 minutes added time in this one. I got to watch it on a big screen, though, so that was fine. the charity bet came in, so I believe it was like £54 or something, and Andy put it on. So
that was 2 weeks in a row we've got the charity bet, and this time I placed it. So it returned £58.28, and that went to the Thin Blue Paw Foundation, which is a charity that supports serving and retired police dogs. Lovely. So there we go. Hopefully they've got them some Bonios or some toys or something.
You know what I didn't realise about the Marseille game, Gordo, is I watched it like you did and didn't realise that Cedric Bamboku played for them.
Yeah, he just came in from Beijing Guan. A player absolutely despise Cedric Bakambu as well, because he rinsed Liverpool in the 16-17 Europa League, either semi-final or he just made us look so shit, and we were at the time. But he's came back from China and he's made his money clearly.
Overall, gents, very good week. 8 out of 12. Three out of 4 for myself and Connor, and 2 out of 4 for Gordo. Good picks and the charity bet in. I'd take that every week. That was wonderful work. So we'll try and do the same after the ad break. Just a reminder that we have a Patreon channel, www.patreon.com/tramplebet, or download the Patreon app and search Trample Bet Podcast. For £6 a month, you can join the Trample Bet Club and you get access to all sorts of stuff. You get this podcast as a video file as soon as we release it. So we're recording this on Tuesday evening. You also get, instead of the advert in the middle, a middle section where we shoot the breeze about various picks we think coming up at the weekend that didn't make the show, or just other things we like from other sports. There's an extra content section in there in the video podcast. Also, you get a cheat sheet, all the picks written down every week in a handy JPEG format. You can just pull up on your mobile phone. Really helpful, really handy, so you don't have to sit and take notes. And you also get extra content podcasts. Now would be a good time to sign up, as Cheltenham happens in March, and we are planning our usual calendar of 4 or 5 extra shows across that week, specifically dedicated to the horse racing. So come on Patreon, and join us, and we shall see you after the break.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back. And before we get on to this week's picks, let's introduce our guest for this week, someone that you all know very well, Connor Mack. How are you doing, Connor?
I'm good. I've taken a little break and I've just come back. So it's not bad.
See what we did there.
Ready Connor's, for it.
Connor's doing a double shift because he did so well last week. So we're rolling over into this week. So it's the same team as last week, hoping for similar results. So we shall start, as always, with the banker bets, something that we think should be on most of our coupons because it was almost guaranteed. I did this last week with Torino and it ended up costing me a small fortune because they were on absolutely everything that I'd bet, and everything else came in apart from that. So hoping for better results this week in the German Bundesliga's vie. So the second tier of German football, Saturday at 12:30, Bremen versus Ingolstadt. And I'm going to take a home win for Bremen at odds of 4-11. So Bremen won in my charity slot last week, upgrading them to banker material this week because they're playing the bottom team in the league at home. Bremen joint top of the Bundesliga 2 now on 41 points alongside St. Pauli. And this is a game they'll be desperate to win. This is a chance for them to really cement being at the top of the table. They're the most informed team in the league, perfect 15 points in the last five matches. And they're playing an Ingolstadt team that are really struggling. Bottom of the table in 14 points. They're the worst team away from home in the division. Only 7 points taken on the road this season. Bremen won this season's meeting away at Ingolstadt 3-0. So they've already beaten them this season in a harder game away from home. It's just a good spot. And odds of 4-11 just seem too big for an Ingolstadt team that are dire and a Bremen team that are really good. Bizarrely, see if you were to look at this game and look at like previous results this season, look at Ingolstadt. They only seem to be able to beat Nuremberg. And Nuremberg aren't bad, right? They're mid-table. But Ingolstadt this season have beaten them 7-0 in October and 5-0 2 weeks ago. So I don't know why they love going to Nuremberg and winning by a combined 12-0. But they don't do that very often. This is a nailed-on Bremen win.
Yeah, like Bremen in there. It was actually a pick that we were talking about earlier on. Bremen are just... You know, that way they had a little patch probably about September, October. They kind of faltered a bit, but now they're like, we are Bundesliga quality. Let's sort this out. Speaking of Bundesliga quality, I am on Sunday with my pick, a pick I have picked so many times that, it's becoming, it hasn't lost for me yet. This is Borussia Dortmund versus Borussia Mönchengladbach, battle of the Borussias here. And I am taking a first half goal at 2-7. It happens all the time in both teams' games. Dortmund won in their last 16. It hasn't happened. Borussia Mönchengladbach in their overall form, it has happened the last 10 games they've played. Just goals in the first half happen. And especially with two teams that are, well, Dortmund are playing midweek against Rangers. I'm not sure if Mönchengladbach have got a... No, they don't have a game in that slot. So it means nothing for this because there'll be fucking a first half goal in the Rangers-Dortmund game as well. It just happens. So you'll get this at what I consider of the quite good price of, 2-7 for a banker. It'll drift in before it actually, before the game actually kicks off. It always does, and they price it out accordingly. So that's my banker this week. It hasn't let me down yet. They generally are about 3. I mean, Borussia Mönchengladbach conceded 6 in the first half in one of their games, so I'm quite content that Dortmund might put at least one past them. So, yeah, that's my pick.
So it's snapped for me. We're all in the same country, so I'm the last of the banker treble. I'll be on Sunday, and I'll be in the Bundesliga as well. I'll be backing Leipzig away at Hertha Berlin at 4-7. It's no wins in six for Hertha now. And Leipzig have won four of the last five. Their only loss coming away at Bayern last week. And they played quite well against Bayern Munich. They lost 3-2. The thing with Leipzig is they only know how to play one style of football, which is we'll just pile forward and we'll be really entertaining. We might concede goals, but we're going to score a load of goals. With players like Christopher Nkunku and Andre Silva, who, you know, he was the top scorer of the league last season, and he's moved to Leipzig, and they just tend to go all out attack. And Hertha are coming off probably one of the worst losses of the season last week. They lost to a very good Greuther Fürth side, 2-1. And Fürth went 2-0 up in the game as well, you know.
Paid out on Fürth. What
that early paid out.
They paid out. And Hertha, there he is, the official mascot of Greuther
Fürth.
And, you know, Hertha only scored with 5 minutes to go to make it 2-1. They weren't in the game at all. And it's been a downward trend for Hertha for quite a while. The last five meetings of this fixture at the Olympic Stadion, which is Hertha's home ground, have seen five wins for Leipzig. These include 3-0, 4-2, 3-0, 6-2 and 4-1. So, like I said, Leipzig score goals. They make and see goals. They've kind of turned their season around, really, because they got rid of Jesse Marsch, who they got from the other Red Bull team, Salzburg. And they weren't really winning a lot of games, and they've hired Domenico Tedesco. Ever since he's turned up, they've had six wins, one draw and two losses. One of those was to Bayern, and another one of those was to Bielefeld, which is a bit of a crazy game. They were 1-0 up. They went down to 10 men with 10 minutes to go and conceded twice in 10 minutes. So, you know, he's started to turn them around a little bit, and they're vying for that Champions League spot because, you know, they're not going to win the league, and you know, it's just Bayern's really. But you know, they're very capable of qualifying for the Champions League spot. Another good thing about this pick is Leipzig have only failed to beat one of the bottom six so far this season, which was Bielefeld. As I said, the away form is slightly concerning for Leipzig, but like I said, Tedesco's only just come in and he's had three games so far away, which is one loss to Bayern, a draw at Augsburg, and a win at Stuttgart 2 weeks ago. They have that weird winter break in Germany as well, so you can't really judge them on that. But yeah, I fancy Leipzig at 4-7. It's quite a nice price away at a team who haven't won in six as well. So hopefully, I can round off the bank a treble.
Yeah. Nice. And if you were to back the bankers as a treble on Bet365, you would get odds of 1.5-1. So
easy.
Not too bad for things that we think are fairly certain to come in. On to the value picks. This is where we scour the globe for something we think we've found a little bit of value in. Usually they tend to be around the even money mark, and that's where mine is on Saturday morning at 5 a.m. UK time in the Japanese J-League. Kyoto Sanga versus the Urawa Red Diamonds. And an away win for the Red Diamonds is 10-11 just now on 365. You could probably shop around. If you went to Unibet, you'd probably get it at evens. Urawa put in a great performance to win the Super Cup against heavy favourites Kawasaki Frontale last week, as previously discussed. And this week, they travel to one of the newly promoted teams to kick off this season's J-League. Kyoto finished second in the J2 table last year, and they eased themselves into promotion, drawing their last three games of the season 0-0. Just all of them. Just played out three 0-0 draws.
Fan of that. Big fan of them.
Just to get promoted. Urawa finished last season's top tier, so the J-League in sixth place. A very, very respectable result. It's obviously the first game of the season. There's no form to go on here or anything. But there's a distinct gulf in class between these teams, and they will also have very different ambitions for the season ahead. And this is a game Urawa will want to win, and one that they're just likely to be too strong. Around evens is a great price, especially as they've just gone out and beaten Kawasaki Frontale last week. In a competitive game that Kawasaki cared about and were trying to win. So they've had a competitive fixture ahead of everyone else. They won it, and they should be fired up for this. Even money, Urawa Red Diamonds. I really, really like it.
I think that might be the best pick of this week.
I hope so. It
reeks of bookies have no interest in this league until people start winning money on it. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Like, seeing in, like, I don't know, what, you know, July? Is that mid-season for them? In July, this will be, like, 1-2.
Yeah. Like, and the J League's one of the Bet365 early payout leagues now as well, since they've expanded it.
So were you part of that petition? Or
were you... It was just me. Have you ever had that? I've had that before, where I've had to get in touch with, like, William Hill or something and go, you've not priced this game up. And clearly no one else has cared or noticed. Like, they've got 4 of 5 of the Japanese games on their site. I'm like, what's going on? Why is the Sagan Tosu game not got a price against?
It used to be like that with Liga Nacional, but they now, like, in France, are now a bit hotter on it. So, yeah. not anyone caring about this league because it's on at 4 a.m. does not take away from the fact this is a fucking great pick. So I think a good start. I scoured the globe much like Andy and found another Bundesliga game to talk about. I am taking Leverkusen away at Mainz. You're going to get Leverkusen at 8-7. Leverkusen historically have had the best of this fixture, winning 4 and drawing 1 of the last 5 times it's been played, and that's not at Mainz. This is just back and forward. They've won their last 4 games on the spin. They beat Stuttgart 4-2, they beat Dortmund 5-2, they beat Augsburg 5-1, and they beat Mönchengladbach 2-1. They've went on a bit of a tear of recent. Mainz are all right in the league at the moment. They're in 9th. They're 10 points behind Leverkusen. However, they're on a bit of a form slide. They drew with Freiburg. They did beat Hoffenheim with 2 very late goals, but they lost to Frankfurt. They lost to Greuther Fürth, which is an executable offence. And they lost to VfL Bochum in there as well. There is actually no shame in, because Bayern did that the weekend. Yeah, they haven't been fantastic. They lost to Leipzig as well, and they lost to Frankfurt in there. They haven't been very good since the start of the league, where they picked up quite a lot of their points. Leverkusen, I've got eyes on getting back into the, well, certainly not title contention, but it could catch Dortmund on 46 points, 5 ahead of them. I think Leverkusen are a good price here. This is a Friday night game, so this is 7:30 on Friday night. Will be a good watch. Get them at 8-7 at the moment. I'd imagine by the time that kicks off, they'll be around even money, or maybe even 10-11. I can't see it staying that way at the moment. The only thing I'd say about Leverkusen is that they seem to do it against all the big teams they like playing against, and they haven't played a wee team in a wee while. That's the only thing that's making me a little perturbed. But apart from that, every other kind of statistic points to this being a nice Leverkusen win. So let's just see it happen.
That's a saying in Germany, isn't it? It's like Leverkusen have won their last 4 games in a row and scored 12 goals, and then someone will go, yeah, but can they do it at Mainz on a Friday night?
Yeah, can they do it at a cold, wet night in Mainz?
We shall find out this Friday.
So again, I'm going to round off things in the value section. I'm Sunday at 7:45, and I'm in Italy in Serie A, and I've landed on Lazio away at Udinese at 5-4. It's 10 points from Lazio's last 5 games. Season 3rd in the form table. They're only behind Napoli and Juventus as we speak in form. They travel to Udinese. They've only picked up 4 points from their respective 5. Udinese are one of those weird teams, really. They're never going to qualify for Europe. They're never going to get relegated. They kind of just sit mid-table and...
They just exist. They just exist in that league.
Yeah.
I mean, Udinese's sole purpose is just to play teams every week and supply players to Watford here and now and again. I love this pick for many reasons. Lazio have the most informed striker in Europe playing for them at the moment in Ciro Immobile, who's got 7 in his last 7. He also sits top of the Serie A goal scorers leaderboard. And his record against Udinese is unreal. I don't know if you guys know it. It's 12 in his last 7.
Brilliant.
So, as well as a 5-4 shot, you'll get Ciro Immobile at 3-1 first goal scorer and even money anytime.
He just loves doing it. Yeah.
Just loves doing it. Lazio's last 10 away games, I've only seen them lose 3 times. And those were to both Milan's and Napoli, who are both above them in the table. Whereas Udinese have not been any of the top 6. They've lost 5. They've lost 4 and drawn 1. And that draw was to Juventus right at the start of the season when Juventus weren't very good. They had a bit of a slump and they wobble, weren't really gelling. Yeah, they had a wobble. Only Inter Milan have scored more goals than Lazio this season. And only the bottom three have conceded more than Udinese. You know, that's teams like Salernitana, Genoa and Spezia. And, you know, the teams that look like they should be down there, but Udinese are conceding just as much as them. And since 2011, Udinese have only won this fixture once. So everything points towards Lazio, and Lazio are chasing a top four spot as well. You know, they're quite close to catching Atalanta, who have been on a real downward slump ever since coming to Manchester United and putting in a really good performance. And Juventus aren't as good as they were. So, yeah, I like Lazio, and hopefully on Sunday night I can round off the value treble as well.
The value treble priced up 7.7 to 1. Pretty tasty that. For three picks that I certainly like the sound of.
You get the opportunity to reback at all times because they're on each different days.
Different days.
Yeah. I was just thinking as well, you could enhance that as well, and you could have Patrick Schick and Chiro Immobile first goal score a double. And then I was trying to think of someone from Urawa.
Who would score? I cannot tell you who would be likely to score the Urawa goal one game into the season. Yeah, let's not go correct goal scorers in Japan just yet. Because tell you, if someone gets on a small tear, Celtic will buy them.
That's it. Yeah, congratulations. You have to play against fucking Hearts away next week, mate. I know that you're used to catching like fantastic stadiums around Japan, but have you thought about going to Dingwall?
What's the other one in Limited? Is it the Tony Macaroni Stadium, whatever it's called? Is that
it's Livingston.
Yeah, yeah. The spaghetti hat is the
spaghetti hat does one. Yeah,
yeah.
Pasta bowl. Yeah, wonderful. Osaka scored both goals for Urawa in their Super Super Cup game. There you go.
Let's play with the treble.
If you want a goal scorer treble, that's your shout. A two to Osaka. For the Urawa Red Diamonds. But yeah, 7.7 to 1 for the value treble. On to the outsiders. This is where we were very successful last week. We'll try and do the same this week. So finding something the bookies have priced up as an underdog that we actually think has a decent shot of coming in. Don't need to hit these very often to make a profit. So let's try and land two in a row, Connor. And Gordon, you try and get one. That came across so much harsher than I meant it.
To be fair, if you take in the fact that I slated you for a good 4 minutes earlier on about your Christmas performance, that's fine. I'll take that. I'll just get this outsider in.
Andy tends to not get his bankers in because he failed to mention that he'd also backed Rangers at 2-7 at one point as well.
That was old news. That's a while ago. You're only as good as your last result. So hopefully next week I'm talking about a win for another outsider. Gordon has already intimated in the middle section he fucking hates this pick. So let's see what you think about it, Connor. German Dritte Liga, so the third league, third tier of German football, Sunday at noon. There's only two games on Sunday, Connor. You'll see which game I'm about to speak about if you pull up a flash score. Havelse versus the Würzburger Kickers. This match will be awful. Right? That's like the only guarantee about this. It's second bottom versus bottom of the Dritte Liga. Both teams have played 26 matches this season. Havelse have managed 20 points. Kickers have managed 18. It's no surprise also that Havelse obviously have a terrible home record. It's no surprise the Kickers have a terrible away record. But two things stand out to me about this game. And the first is the home team here are 2-1, which is crazy considering they are both as bad as each other. The second is the current form table. Havelse have actually managed 7 points from their last five games, which is massive compared to bottom of the form table, Würzburger Kickers, who have 1 point from the last five games. So I'm actually taking the home team that's ahead in the table and is in form compared to the team that's bottom of the table with no form and is away from home, and I'm getting 2-1. I can't see why the Kickers are favourite here. I just can't see it. Like, from a purely numbers point of view, you've got to back the home team at 2-1 here. It's just mispriced.
It says draw because it's a draw.
You think everything's going to be a draw though?
Yeah.
Oh, these Andy, two teams this... are bad. It'll definitely be a draw, as if one team can't score a goal.
You basically went to As long-time listeners of the podcast know, me and Andy work together, right? So occasionally, when we're on the phone, we'll talk about what your picks are going to be. And this pick put me in a bad mood. It was that bad. I was like, what is this? Why is he looking at the shittest available teams? Like, you could not find two worst teams. And like, see if these teams get
exactly
relegated.
Exactly, and one of them's 2-1.
And you will not find them again, because they go into leagues that, like, you know, you break into a league, it's like, yeah, Regionala, Nordost, Berlin, yeah, and they're like breaking down into like leagues. I've got no idea how the promotion structure works. These teams will disappear next season. It's, oh, I would stay away from this. And you heard me talking about this earlier. I think 2-1 is an overpriced for a home team, right?
It's an odds play. It's purely an odds play.
Any price is overrated because no one should be looking at this game. It should quietly happen. No one remarks on it and it finishes. That's it. That's all it should do. It's a footnote on a shit league. Well, that league's not shit, but the end of it is.
You know when you said you couldn't find games on certain websites? This is one of them. It should be one that you could not find.
That would be beneficial for all of us.
You can find it. And you can find a Velsa 2-1.
Oh, God. It's just right.
Is Joey available next week?
Yes. Get him on. He might only be able to communicate in Morse code because the connection is so poorly, but at least he stays away from like the worst available game of football. Speaking of the worst available...
No one will be complaining when I pick a 2-1 winner.
Yeah, and it's not this week. So my outsider, which will surprise no one, maybe the patrons, is LR Vicenza versus Spal, and I quite fancy a draw in this game. LR Vicenza are almost the bottom team in the league. They are just above Pordenone. Spal have fallen from grace as a team that were recently in Serie A. They're on a crap run at the moment, taking an absolute horsing from Regina and Monza in the last 2 weeks and drawing their 3 games prior to that. LR Vicenza are picking up points now to try and get them out of the relegation zone. It will be a very difficult ask of them. They've taken 5 points from the last 5. Spal are the worst form team in the league, taking 3 points from the last 5. And I think a draw at around 2-1, 19-10 is a good price here. So that is a quite good success last week with some Sierra B draws. I would like to follow that up by picking one correct one rather than multiple in a selection of 12. So, Connor, will you take us out of your outsider while I plug my laptop in before it dies?
No problem. I'm in England for the traditional lovely kickoff time of 3 o'clock on Saturday. I really wanted to back against Bradford again as my outsider, but I can't this week because they've just sacked their manager. So you know what that means, new manager bounce. I've gone away from Bradford this week and I'm heading to League One. But I have a question for my two lovely hosts.
Here we go.
What do Wickham, Portsmouth, Wigan, Ipswich, Bolton and Sheffield Wednesday all have in common?
Wigan, Portsmouth, Blue?
No. Gordo?
I mean, don't ask me about the English leagues. See if it was a low league Italian game. Count me in. But pass it to Dave for this one. What do they have all in common?
They've all dropped points at home to my pick this week, which is MK Dons. MK Dons, I'm backing at 3-1 away at Sunderland. And this is third MK Dons away at 4th Sunderland. Sunderland are an odds-on shot at home. Sunderland have been pretty awful recently. MK Dons are unbeaten in the last five away games, which includes wins over Wickham and Portsmouth and Burton. They've also only had one defeat in the last 8 away league games in general. Strange one, Sunderland. They made the really strange decision to sack Lee Johnson after being beaten 6-0 by Bolton while sitting third in the league.
Yeah, it's a really odd one. And because Sunderland,
you're going to get an off day now and again, eh?
Yeah. Like,
So they sacked him and then went on this mad pursuit to try and persuade Roy Keane to come back, to come manage the club. But he wanted £3 million a year to manage a League One side. And since then, after failing to get Roy Keane, they've had a caretaker manager in charge for 2 games. And their permanent manager, Alex Neil, came in for the last game. And in those games, they've lost to bottom of the league, Doncaster. They've lost to Cheltenham, who sits 7th bottom. and they drew with AFC Wimbledon, who sit fourth bottom.
Yeah, they did another coupon for me. I think I'd take them to draw with Doncaster because I thought, yeah. Oh, they're shit, but they're surely not that shit. Nope, they were that shit in losing to Doncaster.
They lost to Doncaster at home.
Yeah.
You know, Doncaster, this is bottom of the Doncaster in front of 42,000 people at the Stadium of Light. Sunderland have also signed Jermaine Defoe, and he decided to leave him on the bench for 78 minutes. He hasn't started since he come back. I don't know, he's getting old, but surely that's a goal scorer. You know, Sunderland's home record is hit and miss. They've done very well at home. That's why they sit third. They've beaten Sheffield Wednesday and Portsmouth, but then they've lost to Doncaster, Oldham and Mansfield. You know, Oldham are the worst team in League Two, you know, and Mansfield are a middle table League Two side in the Pizza Trophy. It's just a weird one. You know, last five games, MK Dons have picked up 11 points. They've only scored five goals, but they've only conceded one in those five games. They've played three away games in that time, and they've won 1-0 each time. So if they score, they tend to hold on and keep results, which is a weird one because they've scored 52 goals this season. So they're free scoring, but they've kind of changed their ways a little bit. And I can imagine if MK Dons score the first goal, the crowd's really going to get on the back of the players at Sunderland. And it just could be very toxic. I think Alex Neil was a rushed appointment because they couldn't get what they wanted. They've got a very young chairman. I think he's like 25. And he wanted Roy Keane and it hasn't happened. And I fancy if MK Dons get the first goal, they can hold on. And I think 3-1's a massive price for a team in third playing fourth. I think the price is based on the name Sunderland.
Yeah.
You know, being a big club in that league. So yeah, I'm backing MK Dons 3-1.
Nice. And you'll be bold enough to try and combine the outsiders as a treble. We almost did it last week. Odds of 30.05-1. So over 30-1. I'll be taking it as a Trixie, so that I'll only need to get mine and yours in, Connor. Yeah. I'll just sit and see that game, that fucking Italian game, not be a draw and be like, great. Yeah. But at least it'll return me some cash. They're the main picks from the show. Now on to our most successful section, certainly for the last couple of weeks, getting two charity bets in a row. Let's try and make it three in a row. So my pick for the charity treble this weekend is on Sunday, and the Danish Superliga is back. It's back up and running after a break since November. That is a sizable break. So Sunday, 3 p.m, Nordsjælland versus Brøndby. Kind of a derby. Nordsjælland's on the suburbs of Copenhagen and Brøndby playing Copenhagen. Brøndby occupy third spot in the table with 30 points from 17 games, whilst Nordsjælland are back in 10th on 16 points from a similar 17 games. It's only a 12-team league, so 10th is not good. 10th is bad. I know form isn't the best indicator following a 10-week hiatus. But coming into this, Brøndby were a perfect 5 wins out of 5 for the last 5 league matches, and Nordsjælland only had 2 points from their previous 5 games. It's the head-to-head record here really favours Brøndby. The last 4 matches between the sides at Farum Park in Nordsjælland have been Brøndby wins. So they've just won the last 4 times they went there. You need to go back 9 occurrences of this fixture all the way back to July 2017 for the last time Nordsjælland recorded a home win against Brøndby. The game since have been 5 Brøndby wins and 3 draws. So 5-4 for a Brøndby win. I'll have that all day. Give me better than even money in that spot. I'll have it all day. I mean, this easily could have been my value pick. They're interchangeable. Uduwa and Brøndby. So yeah, I like this one a lot.
Do you know what? You've had 40 leagues to pick from, right? And he's picked 2 games, right? Where one is the opening game of the season and one is a game after a return of a 3-month hiatus.
Yeah, 10 weeks. 10 week. I mean, yeah, he's got, you know what?
I know what I know, though. And I know Japan and I know Denmark. Like, they're my favourite footballing leagues. The Danish leagues and the Japanese leagues. So part of this is I'm just excited they're back and I can use some of the knowledge I've built up over the last decade of watching these two obscure football leagues.
On to other football leagues that patrons will have heard of, because I cocked up slightly earlier on when we were in our full recording and did my charity over the outsider. However, my charity pick for this week is Hamilton versus Morton, and I fancy draw or Morton in this fixture. Morton have done fantastic of recent, having Dougie Imrie come in, taking 13 points from the last five games, scoring 12, conceding three. Whereas Hamilton, or Hamilton, you know, they've taken 4 points from the last five. They've dropped to get those 4 points. They have got four draws, which is just the most Hamilton thing you can possibly do. I mean,
Hamilton, they've been against decent teams though. They drew with Arbroath. That's hard.
They drew with Raith. They drew with Ayr in there. But Morton beat Inverness away. Morton drew with Raith. You know, so they've got the capacity to do this. You know, Morton drew with Motherwell in the cup and then lost an extra time. So since they've came in, they've been pretty good. And Morton beat Ayr 2-0 away from home. Dougie Imrie, you know, long time Hamilton player and long time Morton player as well. He also featured in a game in 2014 between the two that was 10-2. To Hamilton.
I was just about to say,
yeah. And Dougie,
if
you were
going to talk about form and head-to-head records, I was going to go, Hamilton once beat Morton 10-2.
Yes, but the two Morton goals
long
were
time ago.
No, the two Morton goals were scored by Dougie Imrie. Now he's the manager. So, So I mean, last three games, they've played twice. They were both in the same league last year, and it was a 1-1 draw and a 1-0 away win for Morton here. I quite like Morton. Away from home, I'll probably take them as a single at 12-5. I think that's quite a nice price. But at 8-11, I think that's a really good spot for the charity to be in there. And you know, if it's a draw, it's a draw. Fine. If it's an away win, fine. Hamilton.
So I have reservations about this pick, and the only reason for it is because I'm a Dundee United fan, and we always used to struggle going to Hamilton. We couldn't play on their crappy plastic pitch, and we used to go there. And our players used to get injured, and we just used to be bad. We just couldn't adapt it, and we were rotten. It doesn't look like other teams necessarily have the same problem that we did, but just in the back of my mind, I used to always hate going to Hamilton because I knew there'd be a good chance we would draw or lose.
Yeah.
But I like this pick based on form, based on everything you've just said. I'm certainly not going to go against it.
Yeah. So, Connor, what are you rounding out the charity treble with this week?
I'd just like to apologise in advance because
great. You're not taking Wolfsburg kickers, are you?
No. I like this pick 6 hours ago, and now I hate it. So, I'm the last game on the charity treble as well.
You can change it.
Yeah, you can.
I've got nothing on the fly. So I'm hoping, as a very good Christian. No, I'm kidding. That like luck might see me through. I'm in Portugal for the traditional kickoff time of about 10 to midnight. No, yeah. It's quarter to nine on Saturday evening, UK time. And I'm back in the home side, Gamires, at home to Akura, at 4-5. And I really like this pick when I saw it to start with. It's sixth place, Gamires versus second bottom Akura. And then I looked into it a bit more. And Gamires are a bit dodgy. I mean, the last five home games, they've won four and drawn one. They've also beaten Braga. And they're beating teams they should beat. And then I look at the form table of the last 10, and it's a bit like, well, this is kind of like a mid-table battle. Akura have only won one of their last 10 away games, and that was against Esterol, who they got promoted with last year. So, you know, they should really beat them. They've both lost to Belenenses, who are bottom of the league, which is why I really hate this pick now, because Gamires lost last week to Belenenses.
I don't think it's a bad... I mean, Arouca, that game that they played against Estoril, they won by scoring an 89th and 90+7 goals. It's not as if they're doing that. Plus, like, they have won their last five at home, like beating Braga, beating Estoril, beating Tondela, and beating Moriense. So, what has changed? Did you get some insider info from the Arouca camp? Have they spiked the Gamires hotel rooms or something? What's going on here?
You know when you just feel those chakras and you just feel like something's gonna I could have picked from any league. I really looked at this game and thought, do you know what, that looks really good. Another home game. And then I saw they lost to Belenenses, who have only got 12 points all season. And then I was like, but I'm hoping that, you know, luck's on my side. They might win this like 2-0 or 3-0. I mean, the away side, Akura have scored less than one goal a game all season, you know. So I don't fancy them to win, but I'm hoping that Gamires turn it on a little bit. And you know, they're 6 points off European qualification and behind Gil Vicente. And yeah, let's just hope. You know, I like it a little bit more now that Gordo has a little bit of faith in it. But
I mean, I can only take what I've garnered from my 5 years managing Gil Vicente. But this is all in FIFA. But you know, I think it's a relatively good pick in there. Andy, what do you think? You look slightly vexed by this whole situation.
I'll care about this game when the first two legs come in. We get those first two legs in, then I might be like, "Here, Connor, this is dodgy, by the way." But until then, I'm gonna trust you. The Portuguese league isn't a league I normally bet on. It's not what I bet on personally. Someone from the podcast. Someone from the podcast brings it up.
I think actually the last time I went to this league, I backed Firmilico away at Gamirash at Fours. So I'm not really sure now.
You said it with such confidence. You said it with such confidence. Yeah, I'm sure all the listeners will be running to back.
Yeah, they'll make a call themselves.
But that's the charity treble then. And you combine those three picks together, you get 5.69 to 1. So
and mine's 4.0 of them.
No, so not bad at all. And hopefully we go 3 out of 3 and we can send some more money to charity this month. That was the podcast for this week. We do have a Facebook group, search Trample Bet Podcast on Facebook. Click the join button and come and be part of the community. Michael Stokes has been on fire with his rugby picks again. I really like seeing them because rugby union is a game I know very little about. I just do what he says when he posts something in the Facebook group, and then it more than likely wins. So I've just got into the habit of trusting.
Who was the lad that did the? I saw he had over 10 shots for Wolves at Tottenham.
That was Michael. That was Michael again.
Was that Michael as well? Yeah.
It's not just rugby. That man. But yeah, I think it's a great pick from him in there. And there was a couple other people who've been posting in the Facebook group. There was there's been a lot of good chat this week, especially on the Super Bowl. There's about 700 comments on that. Most of them are Andy annotating a national anthem, which is it's an interesting format for creating engagement.
Love that bet. I can't wait for Eurovision either. Like these are my two novelty things that I do in the year. Like Cheltenham, is the best betting week of the year. Like I take it off work, I go down to the festival, and if I'm not at it, I'll watch everything religiously. I have notebooks full of stuff. I just love it. But it's a different experience for Eurovision. It's almost as much fun because you're gambling on nonsense. So we'll do a show around Eurovision this year, but we will be doing a big Cheltenham show. And we'll preview each day the day before. So yeah, look out for that. That'll be the festival starting Tuesday. We'll do Monday night. You'll probably get our Tuesday picks, and then the night before each following day. And we'll run through absolutely every single race. That'll be for Patreon members only. So if you fancy getting involved, now's the time. Sign up to Patreon at patreon.com/tramplebet or search for us in the Patreon app. Come and join the club, be there for March for the Cheltenham Festival, and then you know if it's not your thing you can unsubscribe very easily. But we do appreciate every single Patreon member.
I was just going to say got a new patron, quite a few new patrons of recent, so hello to Fernando Lopez who's joined as well. He just, that's a very good name for a patron. I feel we don't have enough patrons that I think he could play for Villarreal or perhaps also Callum Hodger, who was in the group, who had posted a lot of really good stuff last week.
Yeah, I was on Callum's his, always good
Lazio Bologna tip last week, so hello to him. And be careful, mate, you might end up here. That's if you keep posting good stuff, that's what happens. Look at Connor, posted a couple of good picks, now he's doing a weekly.
So I gave up my Betfair job for this. I turned down the contract and I'm here.
On the independent podcast, I love it. The one that doesn't pick sides. We're on the side of the punter. Connor, thank you so much for joining us again. We'll hear from you next week at the beginning of the show, and then we will more than likely have a different guest on for next week's picks.
Everyone just keeps bottling it at the moment, so I'm kind of like on reserve. So I don't mind. Yeah, I'll be here.
We've always got Connor on retainer. It's a wonderful spot to be in. That was the podcast, folks. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good weekend. Happy hunting.
Bye.
The Trampled Bet podcast is produced by Andy Bond, Gordon McLarnon, and Gary Black, part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Find the next show you'll love at sport-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.